Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Welcome to The Jump, presented by Michelin Wiper Blades.
Today's opening tip, Jake Layman getting fouled on the break, and then we catch a glimpse here of Robert Covington, and he's eating a stroopwafel on the bench. And this led to a heated discussion about, did he bring his own waffle? Did someone sneak him a waffle? Yeah. But you think the trainer gave it to him, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. The trainer gave him that waffle. It's like eating a Gatorade bar, you know.
They're like nutrient packs.
They got honey in between them.
Yeah,
honey stingers.
Give him a little energy, you know, in case he's feeling a little low, you know, on energy or something like that. So it's a healthy snack.
Do you get to pick what your snack, like which snack you infuse, right? Could you like go on, maybe you want blueberry pancakes instead of a waffle. Well, I don't know.
They might have different flavors though, right?
I'm just saying, a jump investigation is on the horizon. We get into the important issues here on this show. Sir. Welcome indeed, I'm Rachel Nichols. Today I'm joined by our senior writer, Hall of Famer, Mr. Jackie McMullen. And oh look, it's 2008 champion, first team all back alley, Mr. Kendrick Perkins. Coming up, Chris Asporzing. I don't know if you've heard this, but he's returning to Madison Square Garden tonight as an opposing player for the first time. And we want to know who is under more pressure to win, the Knicks or KP. Ooh. You're going to have to answer that along with us, so stay tuned. First, though, I know a lot of people know about the Clutch City era of the Houston Rockets, but not everyone knows its origin. The whole thing actually started with an NFL game back in 1993. The Houston Oilers had a 32-point second-half lead on the Bills, but coughed it up and lost in overtime. To this day, it is still the biggest comeback in NFL history, which is great if you live in Buffalo. Not so much in Houston. Then came the Rockets the following year. In the second round of the 94 playoffs, a heavily favored Houston team blew multiple big leads in successive games to go down 0-2 to the Suns. It looked like another major stumble. And so the next day, the Houston Chronicle's front page headline was Choke City. Ugh. Except then, the Rockets dug it out, beating the Suns in seven games on their way to winning a championship, and Clutch City was born. So fast forward to this Rockets team, which has seen its share of winning, but also, if we're going to be honest, of choking too. None more so than in last year's playoffs when the Rockets were supposed to be title contenders, but instead fell in the second round to a Warriors team that lost Kevin Durant mid-series. That performance was so crushing to the franchise that Houston made major changes over the summer. Chris Paul went out. Russell Westbrook came in. A big chunk of the coaching staff was let go. By the time we got to last night's early season matchup with the Clippers, the Rockets were out to prove they were a different team. And they did start that way, jumping ahead by as many as 17, even as Russ picked up four early fouls. Then, well, the lead started dwindling. Then it was totally gone. L.A. went up by four. That is when James Harden, whose scoring has evolved from ostentatious to flat-out obscene this season, kicked into gear. The man scored 17 points in the game's final five or so minutes. 17. And it was ridiculous. He did this from deep, like it was nothing. Then pulled up over Jamichael Green, like it was nothing. He even took Kawhi's cookies here and turned it into a nice alley-oop for Tyson Chandler. By the time it was all over, the Rockets had the W, Harden had 47 points, and Houston's defense looked completely functional, holding the Clips to just 93. Actually, it was worse than that for LA, which lost not just the game, but its coach. Yes, Doc Rivers was tossed for arguing with officials over how many timeouts LA had, a moment made absolutely amazing by his son Austin, who first motioned refs to tee his dad up, and then waved at Doc as he left the court, making that call me phone call gesture to him. Austin then took to Twitter. Welp, Thanksgiving is gonna be weird. Yeah, awkward. Although he also later put this up on IG. Great win. Love you, Pops. To which Doc replied in the comments. Hilarious. Love you. Aw, so all's well that ends well there. Decidedly less warm and fuzzy were Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley postgame. These two have a long and sometimes bloody history. And last night, Russ took another shot at Pat, saying this.
Pat Bev trick y'all, man. Like, he play defense. He don't guard nobody, man. He's just running around doing nothing. It's not. As you've seen, what happened, 47. All that commotion to get 47.
Does Russ have a point?
No.
James Harden was actually 0-for-6 last night when Pat Bev was his primary defender. So no. But Russ is right about this. James did drop 47 on a team that had been ranked collectively as having the NBA's best defense in his previous 5 games. That is something. And Harden did it not just to fill up the stat sheet, but by delivering huge when his team was down and absolutely needed him to. In fact, in a city that knows both sides of the spectrum, well, you might even say he was clutch. At least as clutch as you can get for a game in November. So, guys, I do want to talk more about that Rockets defense because we talked a lot about them when they were terrible during the first week or two of the season. And last night, Perk, they held the Clippers to 93 points. Do you start to believe in what they can do on that end of the court?
Yeah, I'm leaning that way. Okay. I'm not sold all the way. You know, I watched this Rockets team, and sometimes they don't look engaged. You know, not every night, not consistently. And let's be real, the Clippers have struggled offensively for the last, like, 5 games. So they teams have been locking them up, you know, pretty well. But let's give credit, man. This was a big win for the Houston Rockets last night. But I think, you know, one thing that I see about the Rockets is that, and if I'm Mike D'Antoni, you know, I would start running a couple plays, you know, for us, like for P.J. Tucker, guys like that, you know, getting him on easy little layups to make him feel involved. Because once you make a player feel involved, then they get more engaged into the game. And they don't want to sit around and just watch James do him or watch Russ do him and just stand around and not be – because it's hard to just say, hey, let them score, and then y'all run down and play defense. Okay. But last night was impressive on both ends by the Rockets. And one thing that it showed me is that James Harden is the best scorer in the NBA, period, hands down. It's not even a debate.
So in a matter of days, because we're talking small sample size here, right? So in a matter of a week, Houston's defensive rating has jumped from 28th to 18th,
right.
Okay? Earlier in the year, teams were shooting 42% from the three-point line against them.
Right.
In the last 3 games, they're only shooting 25% from the three-point. So that's what I'm looking at, Rachel.
Right.
Can you sustain that?
Right.
Because they haven't done a great job at defending that three-point line defensively. If you can do that, then I start really believing that you can play good defense. And you got to do a better job of stopping opponents' points in the paint, something they haven't done as well. Mm. You do that, I'm on board.
I'm on board, too. But I'm not going to jump the gun, but I like what I've been seeing over the last 5 games, though, from the Rockets.
There's a pride thing, too, right?
Sure.
This team certainly considers itself a championship contender again. And to have people all over the league making fun of your defense and throwing up that score against the Wizards and all of that stuff, I think, guys, who we've got 2 former MVPs on that team. They're sending the message throughout the locker room, we got to tighten this up. To your point, I don't know how long that lasts, but you got to give them credit now because they're getting it done. I want to talk about Kawhi Leonard because you saw him in that clip before. He is out tonight, but here's what's interesting. We did not expect him to play the second night of the back-to-back, but the Clippers are now calling this, quote, left knee injury management.
Mm.
And that is interesting because we talked on this set yesterday. I pointed out, they got to stop calling it load management,
right?
You got to say the thing that's wrong, and that if people say, oh, he's got a knee problem, which he does, and they're trying to keep him healthy off
of it.
Don't
you think it's a tweak there? Why just say left knee? Why do you say left knee management?
Well, it's slow. You gotta move slowly. You've got to, like, you know, it's
take
this
baby
whole
steps.
Thing. It's like one of those morph
steps.
Things.
Silly.
I don't know. Patrick Beverley also going to miss this game. You know, Kawhi hasn't played a back-to-back since April of 2017.
Wow.
So that is something to note as well. Do you feel better about this injury designation? You still feel like it's too?
To me, it's semantics. And we keep talking about this, and the league is watching every single thing now, and every letter and every I and T being put out there. And what does it still mean? It's all still the same thing. Kawhi's got a knee patella tendon problem, and he needs to be rested throughout the year. The end.
But that, I think that terminology is important. I think if you are telling fans he has a knee problem and we're taking care of it, managing it, that is something as a fan I would feel better about. Then these load management designations, that some are for injury and some are for rest, and what are you talking like? I think that they're, I don't think any load management should be for rest. They're all health related, in truth.
Yes.
So I do like this better. I think it's better.
Because we're putting these reports out for the fans.
Yeah. So, and gamblers. Don't forget the gamblers.
And the gamblers, but we want them to be happy. Because once again, they're the ones that support our league and the way they're the reason that our NBA is today. So I'm glad that they did handle it this way.
All right. Kawhi is out. But guess who's going to make his debut tonight? If you bought tickets for that Clippers-Pelicans game,
PG.
You will see Paul George. He missed the first 11 games for the Clippers. Remember, he had surgery on both of his shoulders this offseason. I saw Perk just the other night here at Staples Center, and he was so jonesing to play. I mean, you know what it's like after an injury, Perk. And they've held him out even in the smart way to just be like, hey, you know when you think you can come back? You're going to come back a week after that so you can make sure you're healthy.
Move.
What do you expect from him? Because in the first game back from an injury, sometimes a guy's trying so hard, right?
Right. Well, I mean, PG is a vet. But you got to understand, he had a way worse injury when he almost had his career injury.
That's
so,
true.
You know, coming back off his shoulder injury obviously is a big deal. But PG is a scorer. And obviously they're playing the Pelicans, which you could get buckets on at any time. I mean, they give up. It's the truth.
Right.
They give up a ton of points. So I wouldn't be surprised if he come in tonight and have between 15 and 20 points. I would not be surprised if he come in and have a serious impact on this game. How many minutes he play, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure he could get 15 to 20 points on the Pelicans tonight.
It's a little unfortunate that both Kawhi and Pat Beverly are out.
Right.
Right? So to me, it's like personifies the great things of Paul George offensively and defensively. I hope he doesn't try to do too much.
Right.
And I just think that's human nature. When you come back, you want to show everybody, I'm not only fine, I'm going to make this team a contender. And all that talk about us being the best defense, it's going to happen now that I'm here. So if I'm Doc Rivers, I've got him on a minutes restriction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm being very careful when I play him and how much I play him.
Yeah. I mean, when you've come back from an injury, what's sort of the biggest thing in your mind as you hit the floor for the first time?
You just kind of want to go out there and you just want to do something good. Like, it's not necessarily, you just want to show that you're back. You want to, you know, score a first bucket or grab a rebound or run the floor and make sure that you're healthy. I mean, getting a dunk would be great, but you just want to just be out there. It's nothing. It's just the feeling of being back out on the court. That it's better than anything. Like, forget the stats and everything. Just that feeling of being back and in the game.
Doesn't adrenaline exhaust you the first game out?
Yeah.
Like, I remember guys telling me that the adrenaline of just being back after four minutes, they're like,
you know what?
When I
came back off that ACL injury in Boston and I got that standing ovation, the first 30 seconds I was dead tired. And I, like, just off of adrenaline because I was so pumped up.
I was there,
up.
Too.
Yeah,
I was
so pumped up and everything. So, you know, I'm glad PG's back. It's great for the game, too.
Good for him, absolutely. Coming up, the Celtics have the league's top-rated offense and dropped 140 last night.
Wow.
This is without Gordon Hayward. Is this sustainable? We'll discuss that. First, though, it's time for our distant replay from this date in 2008 featuring Mr. Bean. No, not that Mr. Bean. This Mr. Bean.
Long arms.
Yep.
There you go.
Long arms. Oh, Gasol.
There you go.
Those were the days.
Yes, it was. No load management for Kobe.
Gasol never gets enough credit for those.
No load management for Kobe.
The Jump is presented by Michelin Silicone Wiper Blades, designed for extreme performance and last two times longer. And in part by ESPN Plus. Now you can get ESPN Plus, Disney Plus, and Hulu for just $12.99 a month. Sign up today at ESPNPlus.com.
It's a make or miss league.
Make.
Miss.
Ovo je Liga Promasa I Pogodaka.
Totally what he said. Make extension. Second quarter in Orlando. Ben Simmons goes way up to grab the alley-oop.
Wow. Just like Kobe.
Right.
Oh,
that's
my
exactly.
God.
This is a little Kobe.
How great to have hops like that.
Super athletic.
You forget the kind of hops Ben Simmons has.
And I was about to say with the left hand, but I forgot he's lefty.
He's lefty, man.
Is he left-handed? That's another thing
very
in our
fair
jump
question,
investigation. Because, you know.
I think most lefties are ambidextrous, and I am lefty.
J.J. Redick tried to get him to start shooting right-handed.
That was really impressive right there.
There you go. That looks good. That's why even if he never gets the jumper, he's still an all-star.
I'll tell you what, best thing he did last night.
Wow. Miss Bunny. I'm just going to move on because we're being positive. Clippers Rockets, PJ Tucker gets the steal. And this was.
There's the guy Perk wants to get more shots right
this
there.
Is
just saying.
No, he loves PJ on the show.
That See, that's from him not having rhythm. He don't touch the ball. That's what happens when you don't touch the ball. He's not able to get rhythm.
You can miss. You can't even say that with a straight face.
You can miss the buddy there. It's running into the stanchion.
Oh, that's so funny.
I mean, this happens to everyone. It's the doing. Yeah,
you gotta love PJ.
It's a lot, right? There you go.
Oh, my God.
Wedgies. Off the offensive rebound. Look at KCP. Puts up the layup. And, yep, here's the wedgie. Man. Shout out, starters. Look at AD. Right? He's like dying.
So I just feel so sorry for this dude because I think he's a good player. Everyone's out to get this guy.
He does it to himself. He has to perform, Jackie.
Oh, man.
He's
but,
not holding
but PJ
up his
Tucker
hand
can
to
do that. Do you think there's a
but
vast
PJ
international
is giving
conspiracy?
More to
I just feel like you're picking out the one guy on the Lakers.
No, they're not. He made the bid. He has to lay in it. At least PJ is giving
satin
more.
Satin sheets?
Oh, silk.
Continuing that conversation. Hey, look at JaVale. Miss Entertainment. JaVale getting fouled, and we get an amazing look at a courtside fan. Watch this. What? Look at look. How rich do you have to be that asleep in your courtside seat?
That's unbelievable.
Yes.
Looks like John Stott.
Look, Al Cole. But I want to know how much money you got to have in your pocket to be in the first few rows of a Laker game and be like,
what?
I don't even need to pay attention. I'm just going to take a nap.
I hope he wasn't a guest. I hope those are his own seats.
It might have been a little bit too much to rock.
That's load management slash rest. That's what that is right there. That fan is load managing.
You are at the Lake Show. You're watching LeBron James.
You got to have a lot of money in your pocket, and I would feel bad that we're making fun of him on TV, except obviously he's very wealthy,
That's that watermelon. He does it to us all.
Meg finishes Ja Morant in his bag last night.
In his bag all year, right?
Look at that.
Amazing finishes. Look at this. Some passes around the rim, too. Look at this kid. Come on. Already getting Rookie of the Year buzz. And we wanted to know if anyone had Ja Morant nicknames yet. Jackie?
How about Ja Morant?
I'm going to keep it simple. I'm just going to say that dude because he's liked it. He's like this, so he's that dude.
The staff came up with Ja Rules or Ja Rule.
I like that.
I don't kind of like putting him in the same conversation as Ja Rule.
Well, I'm just saying. I would like to point out that Ja is a nickname, which I didn't know.
What's his real name?
Demetrius Jamal Morant is his real name.
Ooh, I'm glad he stuck to Ja because I wouldn't be able to pronounce that on
Demetrius.
TJ. It's still working.
There you go. We're going to be talking about him a lot for the next years and years so we can think of the nicknames together. Yeah. You guys know that we can't have Jackie Mack and Perk on together without talking a little Celtics basketball.
You know, we got to.
And boy, Boston is making this easy for us. They put up 140 points against the Wizards last night. That is most for the Celtics. Perk, I'm sorry. We're going back over your teams. No one has done this since November of 1992.
Ooh.
Coming out of that locker room. Despite losing Gordon Hayward, their first in the league in offensive efficiency. Mm-hmm. They're in the middle of a 9-game win streak, have not lost since opening night. Is this sustainable, Jackie McMillan?
I think the winning might be sustainable. I don't know about being number one in the league in offense. And the reason I say that is I think the most underrated skill that Gordon Hayward has is his playmaking ability. He this year is at career high, a 20.2 assist percentage. Tatum and Brown, who are going to absorb some of those minutes, they're nowhere near that. In fact, he has a higher assist percentage right now than Kemba Walker does. So I do worry about spraying the ball because that's why they're getting great shots and that's why these guys, they have so many guys averaging in double figures. I still think they can be successful and win, but I don't expect them to be number one offensively with him out.
Well, I do.
Okay. Because if we agreed, what fun would it be?
I know, right? Because, listen, they got rid of the guy who they needed to get rid of, Kyrie Irving. And now you got to give much credit to Brad Stevens because he's able to coach. And now Kemba Walker and these guys that came in, and it's interesting, and this shows the world how good of a coach Brad Stevens is. When you get a group of young guys like Tatum, you know, Brown, Smart, Kimba, to all buy in the system to plan together. The ball movement that they have going around is beautiful to watch. It's inspiring to watch. They're playing on both ends. And I think they could finish number one in offensive, being the best offensive team in the league because they're sharing the ball. They love playing with one another. And it's beautiful to watch. And I got to give a lot of credit to Brad Stevens because he got these guys. He's putting these guys in position to be successful.
And Kimba Walker, too, because he's a superstar and he's not really playing like one. I mean, he's putting up great numbers,
right,
but he is all about sharing the ball with
everybody. He bought into the role.
He's playing like Kemba Walker, right?
Yeah,
this
really
is one of the things he's
really
so good
great.
At.
Yeah.
I mean, look, on the Kyrie thing, he left them. They didn't get rid of him. But this is where I would say to the Celtics, extreme credit, starting with Danny Ainge and going all the way through Brad and the other players there. Left, given a situation where the guy who you think is going to be your big free agent retention that summer decides, I'm out of here. The way they rebounded, right, without doing a sign and trade, by going to someone else and basically getting Kemba involved, picking the right guy there, having things work with their younger players, that in itself is such a huge thing to me and something that we frankly haven't seen in every franchise that's had a superstar.
And that's why Danny Ainge runs circles around GMs in the league because he does things like this.
But the most astonishing part of it is it cost them Al Horford, and I thought that was going to be a death knell for them, and it isn't. So give Tice and Robert Williams and all those young guys who've been clogging up the middle some credit, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I thought Al Horford was a huge, huge loss.
And Aaron Baines. We've talked about Aaron Baines.
I didn't think Al Horford was a huge loss. In my opinion.
Well, of course, because I think he is. So, again.
Jackie, thank you so much for joining us today and this week. We're going to have Brian Windhorst pop in a minute. Here's what The Jump recommends for today. Brian's coming on because he's got a very interesting story on the ESPN app.
Uh-oh.
Not for a lot of reasons. But
yeah.
He's got this great story about the Knicks. Basically using all their own words from interviews over the last year or so. It's fascinating. You want to go to the app and read it, and then we'll talk about it after the break.
Somebody actually wrote something great about the Knicks. Well,
you're watching The Jump, presented by Michelin Wiper Blades.
This week on NBA Countdown, we hang with Draymond Green.
That's ridiculous.
And Mike Conley tells me about his emotions, returning to Memphis for the first time as a visitor.
I'm going to probably feel all 12 of those years and then some.
Friday, 7 Eastern on NBA Countdown, presented by Mountain Dew.
Tip off your weekend with our next NBA Friday doubleheader. First is Jazz Grizzlies, 8 o'clock Eastern. Then it's Celtics Warriors. Our coverage indeed begins with NBA Countdown. Catch Maria and the crew 7 o'clock on ESPN and the ESPN app. Welcome back to The Jump. We now welcome in our ESPN insider, host of the Hoop Collective podcast, Mr. Brian Windhorst. Thank you for joining us. We mentioned your piece up on the app and the website about the Knicks and how they got to this moment where Kristaps Porzingis is returning to Madison Square Garden tonight. It has been 21 months since he was last on the court in New York. He has already said he's expecting to be booed tonight. Kendrick said he's not sure if he's going to be able to tell if the boos are for him or for Knicks management. So we'll see. Who do you think, Brian, is under more pressure to win, the Knicks or Porzingis?
It's obviously the Knicks. Not only off to a terrible start, not only is their coach David Fizdale on the hot seat, their schedule coming up is just really brutal. They have a 3-game homestand this week. Obviously, today is one of their biggest games of the year. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest. Then they have 2 more home games, which you'd think would be winnable, although they just lost to the Cavs at home last week. Mm-hmm. Look at after that.
Ooh.
That's rough. And I'm going to tell you, if you push it out to 15 games, it doesn't get any better because after that Bucks game, they go to the West Coast. The Knicks could be in for a real, real bad month here. And that's why they need some positive news this week. And, you know, when I started this piece, I looked back the last 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Perk, if you go back and look with the day they hired David Fizdale and watch that press conference, which I did, mm-hmm. I thought everything that they said made perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they had good rationale.
Right.
I thought they knew exactly what they were going to do. It sounded like they were all on the same page. I was excited about it for them then. Looking back on it, it's depressing. It's depressing for Knicks fans because of how far they've gone off. And I actually don't even think trading Porzingis. I think that the Porzingis trade was a good trade. But the fact that they haven't stuck to their plan, which was to develop young players and go through the draft, they got sucked into free agency, they fell into that trap, and now they're stuck.
Do you agree with all that? Do you think the pressure is on the Knicks, given everything Brian just kind of went through?
Well, this is the reason that I disagree, why the pressure is not on the Knicks. Because they're not going nowhere. It don't matter what kind of schedule they have. It's already a disaster. There's no pressure. There's no way that winning this game could enlighten the city of New York. No, it's already done. That situation is dead birds, tall grass. But now when you look at KP, when you look at Porzingis, the pressure is on him. He wanted out of New York. Mm-hmm. They got him out of New York. Obviously, he's coming back off an injury. He's been in Dallas. He's been horrible.
He's been up and down.
He's not been up to expectations.
He had a bad game the other night. I think it was 11 or 1.
He had a few bad games, right?
Yep.
But listen, so I think it's the pressure's on Porzingis, okay? You want it out. Mm-hmm. Now I'm about to come back and show you, and I'm going to come in. I'm going to accept the booze, and I'm going to come in, and I'm going to give y'all this work, and I'm going to get this win. There can't be no pressure on the Knicks. That situation is gone.
I would not be surprised. I don't know, obviously, but I wouldn't be shocked if we heard some cheers for him tonight from Knicks faithful. That's just frustrated at management and trying to get.
I don't know.
I don't think so?
I think the way it sort of came out that he wanted out, I mean, he didn't dispute any of that.
I'm not disputing that. It was weird, though, the fact that they had already negotiated the trade before he made the trade request. And then basically finalized it an hour or two later. All of it is weird.
They traded him to the team that they had played the night before.
I'm thinking every time Porzingis get the ball, the Knicks fans are going to boo him. And I think every time the Knicks touch the ball, the fans are going to boo him. So it's just what it's going to be.
I do have a quick question for you, Brian. Night. If you guys in the control room, producer Steve, can throw that schedule back up, I'm very curious as to when. If they really are going to fire David Fizdale, when they would do it. Because Woj's story with Malika Andrews came out at the beginning of the week, and they had that press conference the night before and basically said, Steve Mills is laying the path to Fizdale's dismissal. Everything I've heard from everyone else this week has been, yep, this is going to happen. Normally, if you are going to fire a coach, you do it at a soft point, right before a soft point in the schedule, so the new coach can get a bounce, right?
Yeah.
When would that happen here?
I'm telling you, it's possible the Knicks could, you know, I don't think that they are this bad of a team. I do think that they are better than they are showing. That said, I don't think they're a playoff team, and I don't think they're as good as what they thought. That's a very fair question.
Just say you're confused like we all are. We just never know what Steve Mills in that organization.
In a month, the Knicks could be sitting there staring at 5-20.
So do they
six
leave,
and 19.
Do they leave David Fizdale dangling until then?
This is bizarre now at this point, right? If you're Fizdale, maybe you don't even want it on your record
right.
at this point.
I mean, we know what happened in Memphis, right? So we'll see. Andrew Wiggins, let's talk about him. Because, Perk, you're on the show. It's important. We get this out here. He dropped a game-high 30 in a convincing win over the Spurs. He has been impressive. He's leading the Timberwolves in scoring with 26 a game. So I'm going to start with Brian because I'm going to save Perk for after. Do you feel, Brian, because you've talked a lot about Wiggins too.
Yes.
Do you think he has finally figured it out?
I hope so. I hope he has. One of the big knocks on him, he's even amongst the physical freaks that populate the NBA, he is a physical freak. 6'8", enormous wingspan, terrific athleticism, but it never showed up in the results. It never showed up in his defense. It never showed up the way he rebounded, the way he deflected shots. Now, for this little stretch in time, it is showing up. He is passing the ball. Mm-hmm. He is imposing his will on smaller defenders. He is taking guys he has advantages over and using his size. He is putting up numbers across the board. He had 8 rebounds and 7 assists last night. Beyond the fact that he's averaging the highest amount of scoring in his career, he's averaging the highest assists in his career. He's averaging the highest blocks in his career. He is having a career year right now. And he's having fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that this is him as a max player, becoming a max player. I think the history makes us a little skittish on it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are all kinds of signs that he is coming out of the show.
Hmm. All right. Well, I want to remind folks at home how Kendrick reacted last month when several people in the Timberwolves said, hey, we're going to prove everyone wrong this year.
Don't sleep on us. Yeah.
Let's see what Kendrick said.
Call Anthony Towns. Guess what? I'm sleeping. And I'm sleeping with the AC on 60 and the box fan blowing in my face. Because guess what? I don't believe you. Listen, they gave you all you and Wiggins all the praise. They gave y'all the money. They gave y'all the coaching change. They got Jimmy Butler out of there. It's time to put up and shut up.
It's time to debut our new segment, Kendrick's Timberwolves Temperature. Kirk, I want to know, it was 60 back then. Where is your thermostat currently set on the T-Wolves?
Well, listen, my thermostat is sitting at 70 right now. And one thing
about
it,
it's hard to sleep at 70.
Yeah, I'm going to give credit, and I turned my box fan down to level 2.
Ooh.
All right? So, listen, I got to give credit when credit's due, right? Wiggins is balling right now, but it's about time. We've been waiting on this. He was the number one pick. This is what we've been waiting on, and he's doing an excellent job right now. He's balling, and I think him not making that top 100 list lit a fire up on him. Sometimes you got to ruffle the feathers a little bit to bring him up out of it. Listen, I always been high on Carl Anthony Towns. Yeah. Matter of fact, I think he's probably the most skilled big man in today's game. I never doubted his talent level, but I wanted him, don't talk about it, be about it. Mm-hmm. And it's a reason why everybody was sleeping on the Timberwolves, and it wasn't our fault. Y'all gave us this reason to sleep. So now I love the energy. I love the way that these two guys are playing right now. They're playing like they seem like they enjoy playing with each other. I love the way the role players are playing. You know, Teague come out there, he produces. Covington, I like what they're doing right now, but can they keep it up? That's the question. Like you said, can Wiggins sustain this? And I think he can. I think they're both on the mission. But as of right now, I turn my temperature up 10 degrees, turn the box fan down one level, and I got to give them their card right now. They're playing great basketball.
I like it. Well, we will check in with you as the season progresses. And to your original point that you want to see them get this done in the playoffs, if they make the playoffs, I can't even wait to see what the temperature is then. Coming up, Patrick Beverley, just a little knack, just a little bit for getting under player skin. He sure got too hard on Ann Westbrook last night. We will play a round of BS or Real Talk. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Kevin Agati, ahead on SportsCenter at 6 Eastern. Jay Billis on how Memphis declaring James Wiseman ineligible impacts his chances to return. Plus, Baker's biggest problem in a potential make-or-break night against the Steelers. And the latest developments and reactions to Colin Kaepernick's road to an NFL return. SportsCenter with Keith Olbermann and me right after PTI.
The ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
I think it's bull.
I just thought it was bull.
Don't give me that crap!
I like when we get player Doc Rivers on the show. It's time for BS of Real Talk. We give you the quotes. You give us emojis to tell you how true they think they are. Let's get to Patrick Beverley, whose history with Russell Westbrook, well documented on this program. Russ had this to say about Beverley after last night's game.
Pat Bev trick y'all, man. Like, he play defense. He don't guard nobody, man. He's just running around doing nothing. It's not. As you've seen, what happened, 47. All that commotion to get 47.
Guys, signs up. Okay. Is Russ BS or Real Talk that Pat doesn't guard anybody?
I agree that there are times when Pat Bev is a little bit, you know, dramatic in his defense. But the man defends. The man defends. He defended last night, too.
Look, Russ, I love you. The Brody, you know, I love you. We got our ties, but this BS, man. Listen, this is how Pat Bev makes his name. This is how he's surviving in the NBA. This is how he got the big contract.
How he got into the NBA in the first place.
Yes, it's not like he's out here giving you 15 points a game. No, some nights he don't even score, maybe only score 2 or 3 points, and he has an impact on the game because of what he brings on the defensive end. So, much as I love you, Russ, I got to go against you, and that was BS.
You were in Oklahoma City for some of the early parts of why this got so ugly.
Oh, this beef is not going to end.
Right.
I told you that yesterday. Yeah. These guys really don't like each other.
There will be time. Brian has said about some of these guys that, we see this decades later. They'll all be like, you know, punch each other in the shoulder.
I would have to agree with Perk on this one.
This would never go
in. Not going to be like that at all. Let's talk about Damian Lillard, because he has played great most of this season. Yeah.
50-40-90.
Even though the team has not. But last night, some of Portland's overall issues seemed to catch up with him. He had 9 points last night. 9 points. And that broke a 230-game double-digit scoring streak. Here he is talking about Portland's 4-8 start. Take a look here. The quote is, "Every season is bad stretches, and it's good stretches. And especially for us, we always find a way to turn it around. I think that's why I'm able to keep a level head and still be confident that we can find our way, because we have done it so many times." All right, guys. Do you think that statement from Dame, BS, or real talk? What do you got? Ooh.
This is one of those things that's accurate but not true. Him saying we always find a way to turn it around is true. They have done that. But you're not saying about this particular time. By the way, as a quick aside, how about the Raptors play the Lakers and LeBron, play the Clippers, which they lost,
right,
and Dame Lillard. They hold the combined of those three stars, they hold them to 34 points on 24% shooting over those three games.
Mm. Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, they lost two starters on this trip. But anyway, the Blazers have done this before. They have had gotten off to bad starts and turned it around. I do not especially feel optimistic about this year, but that statement in and of itself is true.
Burke's calling BS.
And I'm not calling Dame BS, because he could turn it around. And they have, like you said, Brian, they have turned it around. But they're not going to turn it around. This is not the same team from last year. I think they got worse over the summer. Mm-hmm. When you look at their team, they lost Aminu. They lost Seth Curry. They lost Harkless. They lost some key guys. And then with the injury of Zach Collins, it's huge for Portland. You know, it's only so much that Dame and CJ could do. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, Pat Riley, the great Pat Riley, fooled them. And...
Yes.
Sold them a used Buick that needed a new transmission. How about that?
I believe you're referring to Hassan Whiteside.
Very expensive
Buick. Look, and a lot of the depth that you're talking about that they lost was in part, right, to make that trade work financially.
I mean,
they got bad luck
on the Hoop Collective podcast that came out today. Plug alert. Tim McMahon suggests that they shouldn't look to be buying, that they should look to actually be selling with this roster.
No, I agree.
Because Collins is out, Nurkic is out, that they should be selling, and that just let's move on from this season and come back and try it again.
I will say this about Nurk. He's supposed to come back mid-season, but that injury that he had, and we saw it with Paul George, like, look, it is going to take him a while.
And
how
Gordon
long
Hayward.
Did it take Gordon Hayward to be himself, full season?
And we're talking about a 7'1", 285-pound guy. It's a big difference.
So when you think about Nurkic coming back, don't just plug him in with his old numbers and old presence.
Right.
It's going to take him a while to work back up to
Rachel.
What he
I
was,
agree.
To your point about maybe Tim McMahon last season. We'll see. Steve Kerr, definitely a gap here in Warriorsville. He's very familiar with LeBron James. He's coached against him in 4 NBA Finals. He had high praise for LeBron's athleticism before last night's game. Here's what he said.
I think I've said it before. I mean, probably the best athlete to ever walk this planet. When you think about it, like strength, and power, and speed, and durability, I can't imagine. I've never seen anybody in my lifetime in any sport who I would consider a better athlete than that.
Best athlete ever to walk this planet. That is a high bar. BS or real talk?
That's real talk. That's real talk. For the first time in my life, I agree second time, I agree with Steve Kerr. We haven't seen a guy like this ever in life.
Jesse Owens.
Jesse Owens wasn't 6'8", though.
I haven't seen a guy like this. I mean, literally, you know what? I was watching the video about 2 weeks ago when Bron and KD had this flag football thing going on.
I was present at that game. And I was sitting up there like,
man, this just can't be real. We'll never see an athlete like this ever again, in my opinion. So I'm with Steve Kerr on this.
Also, don't forget that it also mildly inflates Steve Kerr's 3 championships over LeBron. As well. Always praise your vanquished opponent.
I mean, look, this is why when we get back to the conversation about, you know, what Anthony Davis should do in terms of taking care of his body through the regular season, there is the idea that LeBron sets a tone for the rest of the team when LeBron says, if I'm healthy, I'm playing, I'm not taking resting, I'm back-to-backs, I'm not load managing, I'm not taking any games off. You cannot look at what LeBron James does and say, I'm going to follow that plan, because nobody is like him in terms of physically how they can have that sort of endurance. Coming up, we are going to talk after this break about most improved player, Pascal Siakam. Is he going to be the most improved player again after this? This has been insane, what he has done at the beginning of this season. You want to stay tuned for that. First, though, here's our second distant replay from this date, 1995. Shout out Hoops in Seattle.
Oh, Bradley.
Oh, Sean Bradley with the air ball.
This is coming.
Ooh, Sean Kemp.
Rain Man.
Look at Sean Kemp. Trim.
Underhand. Look at that.
Fit.
Fresh flat top fade. You said fresh flat top fade.
Different from later, Sean Kemp.
High Noon is minutes away, and we will discuss whether Colin Kaepernick should go through with this NFL workout.
Does Patrick Beverley own real estate in Russell Westbrook's head?
Should the Spurs trade DeMar DeRozan?
And some VCU fans pull off a pretty epic troll of their former coach. So stay tuned.
The Jump is presented by Michelin Silicone Wiper Blades. Designed for extreme performance and lasts two times longer.
A new season of 30 for 30 podcast is here, and episode one tells the story of Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, and the Russian team owner they played for overseas. Stories about him being a KGB spy, organized crime. You want to listen to this on 30 for 30 podcast, wherever you get your podcast. All right, the Raptors, Brian mentioned it in the last segment, impressive on this road trip. 3 of 4 victories despite all those injuries, Kyle Lowry gone. But guess what? Pascal Siakam is here, continuing to improve. He had a game-high 36 in a win over the Blazers last night. Now, when he was here in L.A., I asked him, I said, you've already got one most improved trophy. You going for another one? He looked at me, he goes, yes. Yes, I am. He's raised his scoring by 10 points a game since winning. What is the explanation for Pascal's growth? It can't be as simple as Kawhi left, right?
Listen, before the season started, I picked two guys to make the All-Star team for the first time. I picked C.J. McCollum and I picked Siakam. What Siakam did last year in the postseason really impressed me. I know Kawhi got all the praise, but if you go back and look at his numbers, man, he was putting up numbers and was, you know, it was one game where he was 13 for 15 from the field. And I'm like, the sky's the limit for this kid. And if you watch him play right now, not only is he going to make the All-Star game, but the way that he has the Toronto rolling, he might be in the MVP conversation. Yeah. He's playing excellent basketball, and he just keeps improving. His work ethic is there. And I want to credit a guy that left and Phil Handy.
Yes.
That left him, that used to work with Siakam. So, hey, man, Siakam, keep making me proud. Every time I see those numbers, I go give me a nice Cuban cigar.
That's nice.
Well, nobody expected him to be this much better. But remember,
he
hasn't been playing basketball that long.
Okay.
And the improvement that he's having now may be what the improvement that a future NBA player might experience when they're freshman to senior year of high school. They make this big, giant leap.
Right.
I fell in love with him last season, but he's surpassed even my expectations.
Well, the originator of the Pascal Siakam bandwagon, as we know, is Zach Lowe.
That's
and
right.
Here's what Zach put out last night. Pascal Siakam last season was shooting 29% on three-point attempts, right, from above, came from above the break, right?
Yeah.
This season, 75%, right? And he's saying he's shooting 42% on those. 2 seasons ago, Pascal Siakam was averaging 7 points a game.
So he would go 8-10 minutes without touching the ball.
Right?
Without touching the ball.
There you go. League Pass game of the night. Hawks at Suns. Trae Young versus Devin Booker. I am excited about this game. Both teams looking at the playoffs, which was not projected necessarily for each one, but they're both seated 8th in their respective conferences. Who is more likely to make the playoffs, Brian? Are you sticking with the Hawks or everything?
Yeah, I mean, the Hawks in the Eastern Conference. But I'm going to tell you right now, in the future, Booker versus Trae Young is not going to be League Pass game. It's going to be a national TV game.
Well, I'm going to go. I had the Hawks making the playoffs, but the suspension of Collins kind of swayed me away from that. Although Trae Young is doing an excellent job, and they are in the East, but I think both get in.
Mm-hmm.
I think they both get in. I watched the Suns against the Lakers, and I like what they're doing over there. I think both of these teams sneak in. It's 50-50.
It really was amazing this week to see the Lakers do a back-to-back with the Suns and Warriors and being, oh, well, the Suns game, that's going to be the hard one.
That's when they played AD in.
The Jump is back tomorrow at 3 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. See you then.